Hello, everyone. Welcome to New Consciousness, New World. Yes, that's right. New consciousness and new world is what we need right now. So this is your host, goofing off a little bit, Esperanza Ray, and welcoming you to the show again today. I hope you enjoyed last week's show. Today I have a guest who will be joining us in a little bit. And in the meantime, I'd like to share with you my adventures up in California. I'm sorry, in California, in New York, quite opposite in direction, right? So this weekend, I had the opportunity to attend a conference or an event up in the New York City, which I had been announcing in the last couple of shows, and that was regarding Brazo, the Croatian healer, although he really doesn't call himself a healer, the Croatian gazer, because what he does is gazing, and he gazes, you could almost call it soul gazing, because that's really what he's connecting with in everyone. And it's just beautiful to see his torus, which is the energy field that surrounds all of us humans. And it's the basic energy of all things that exist and live in the universe and in our planet everywhere. Everything has an energy, and the basic energy of life is the torus, which is the shape of a donut and surrounds and it feeds on itself, you know, the energy coming in from the bottom, up the center, and then running down again, the donut apart. And it was just very beautiful to watch the energy of this person, Brazo, just permeate into the audience and connect. And it just felt like you're fine-tuning your energy to that of the universe, and he's facilitating that process. And you may, in other ways, facilitate different things as well. So it was a very wonderful experience. However, that's not going to be what I'm going to be discussing right now. I'm actually going to be talking about the work that I was asked to come and do again. It was just, I had, like I mentioned before in the show, that I had been up to New York about a year ago, or maybe a year and a half, and I had done work in Ground Zero in different locations within the New York City and outer limits of the New York, Manhattan, Statue of Liberty, and so on. And I was asked to work in those, in specific locations. I was guided to go to specific places, one of them the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, and so on. And it was a wonderful experience. My energy was transformed at that point. And this one was no different. When I went on this occasion, everything was within a certain radius and a certain distance, which was very close. It was very easy to walk to, thank goodness, because my feet, I can tell you, I've gotten blisters from walking before, and I actually still have a little bit of blisters from the walking this time as well. Guess we're so used to just being complacent and sitting that our bodies are not used to having this amount of walking at one given time. So and oftentimes that only happens sporadically when we have to walk for long periods of time in just a very short period of time. So when I went this time, I actually attended, although I went with a friend to New York, I actually went to one location, and my friend was sent to another location to do her thing. I went to the Empire State Building. That's where I was asked to go. And I went up there this time, no claustrophobia, no height phobia, or any of that sort, which was wonderful compared to the previous time where I actually had to ask the assistance from Spirit to help me in the process. And it was really wonderful. I was asked first to go in a clockwise direction and then second in a counterclockwise direction in order to do the energy work that I needed to do. And, you know, this is the way sometimes these things unfold. The Spirit just guides you in the moment, and you have to be flexible to allow it at that given time in that specific moment, because sometimes you don't have much warning or you're not given a lot of planning or preparation. So it's very spontaneous oftentimes, and that's often also how you can tell that it is spirit working through you, when certain things just keep coming up until, you know, you actually go ahead and do it. And it was very beautiful, was very pleasant. This time I did not see those beautiful moths, I guess is what they were, that had these brilliant, shiny bodies, much like glow flies, you know, those little flies in the evening that sparkle and light up. So they were much larger in size, almost like a hummingbird, and they just were flying around in a specific side of the Empire State Building. Of course, that was a different time of the year. We're talking about this time, it was in November. The other time, it was more summer. So it was just beautiful to see these sparkly things just flying around on one side at that height of the Empire State Building. I kind of missed that part. So maybe if I need to go again, I will ask to be sent during the summer when we can have a wonderful vision of these creatures that are so beautiful and magnificent. So basically, while I was up there, I was sent to the four corners, and I channeled the energy in a form of a pillar, and I said the sacred words. And as I did that, the energy, I went through the different points, and I did in one direction, and then I would see the ley lines go out from that corner and come all around the face of the earth to the other side on the opposite corner, uniting in the Empire State Building. And then I would do that with all four corners in one direction. And then the interesting thing, I was concluding that this would happen again, but now I was going in a counterclockwise direction, and or I should say I was going in a different direction than that one. And now what happened is the ley lines, instead of going down through the surface, they were actually creating connecting with the ley lines that surround our atmosphere, our space. And it was really magnificent and wonderful to listen or to see the image of the lines just generating from all the four corners and coming around in full circle around the globe at the earth level and also at the sky level. It was just very beautiful to see, like, this beautiful net of ley lines just flowing. And as the energy emanated in and burst from myself and the pillar into the ley lines and just vibrated so energetically through the entire planet. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience that I wanted to share with you. And these are some of the things that when you come and join us, we will share how to do some of these things with you. Some of them require live personal, because I have to impose the laying on of hands to bring about the passing on of the energy. But there are other techniques that I can very easily share in webcasts and also through the radio show that you can use to your benefit, especially protection-related techniques. I will make a point of sharing with you online so that you can use them. We might want to see if our guest is available. If we might want to try to connect with him and bring him in, that would be a great thing. And in the meantime, it was very interesting experience. I enjoyed it immensely. And for the first time in a long time, finding myself in a city that is very large, I was able to experience this by myself, and I felt very, very empowered and very fulfilled to be able to connect and just to do something on my own for the first time, and someone else was doing something else as well in this location. So I was not sent to a whole bunch of locations like before. It actually, the Empire State Building became the focus for me to work on, and that's what I enjoyed very much. Although I have to say, and I want to share this with you, that while I was walking, I could feel the energy flowing through my feet and my hands into the surface that I was walking and penetrating into the earth. So I knew that I was doing some level of you know, channeling the energy and amplifying the energy as as I walked and went through different locations. That's something I've been able to do for you know, since I can even remember. And I didn't even realize I had this capability until someone told me. I said, you know, I'm very exhausted. And they said, well, I'm not surprised. And I said, why? Because you've been channeling energy nonstop. So it was amazing to have this kind of experience and not to, you know, to be able to do it on my own. That feeling of self-empowerment of, you know, letting go of the fears, letting go of negativity and conditioning. And, you know, since I never lived in or never been in a humongous city like the city of New York, it was, you know, you have this misconception that is planted in people's minds of how things are in certain locations, and oftentimes you find that they may be true in a very isolated part, but overall most places are very safe locations and very safe places to be, even on your own. So it was very, very healing, and I felt empowered and motivated, because aside from the beautiful scenery and the beautiful views you have from the top, the incredible energy that was provided through me, I'm so grateful for the experience, because it was just it's just very, very, very beautiful. And I don't know where the idea came that New Yorkers were not nice people. I've been there a few times, I would say about 3 times so far, and I have to say they are wonderful, magnificent, beautiful people. So I'm not sure where that New Yorkers were not very polite. Maybe something has changed, but I know that my experience in New York has been always a very positive one. One other thing that I would love to share with you to show the spontaneity of spirit, and this is how it works, because a lot of times we are expecting things to be kind of planned for us in advance, and you expect to have like a to-do list and when to do it. Well, interesting enough, I reserve my bus ride to the last minute the night before. And I reserved my sleeping arrangements until, you know, the afternoon before, or the very day of, you know, the day we're supposed to stay in New York. So everything turned out so perfect that when I planned it the previous year, the results were very nice. However, this was, everything was within of, you know, I don't know, 4 blocks radius, all of it. And the hotel we ended staying at was right in front of the bus stop. And the hotel where we were going for the event was 3 or 4 blocks away, walking distance. So it is amazing and beautiful to see how spirit works. So I'm very pleased to share this with you. You know, we're going to be having, as I told you, some additional guests. And I've also, of course, extended the invitation to Brazos people in regards to bringing on again, you know, whenever they're in the U.S., because there's another thing that you can use in the meantime if you'd like to understand a little bit more what this is about and how it works. I can honestly tell you that you can go online on YouTube, and they, or you can go on Brazo.net or Brazo America, and you will find videos on there that you can use on a daily basis to help you if you do not have access to going to the events, or if you have an immediate need. There are live streamings sometimes from Los Angeles with Brazo that you can watch and can provide you the same results as being there in person. So I just wanted to make sure that you, you know, use these. All right. So, you know, these are things that, you know, would be great for you to, if you want to find out more about what this process is about, if you would like to take advantage of this gift that's being provided to us, and of course, if you're using it online, it's for free, and you know he does not charge for his sessions. So this is a wonderful gift that you can use. It's been helpful. I was so impressed and so you know just so filled with love and compassion listening to the so many testimonials of people's health problems, financial situations, own personal overcoming challenges, self-hatred, depression, all these things being addressed, and simply by somebody connecting and holding the energy for you, helping you to tune and to connect to the your God consciousness, helping you to go within and be in touch with that essence that you are, the divine essence that you have that is made in the image of God. And God has given you free will to use these capabilities to better yourself and to better your life. So one of the ways you can use these techniques if you go online is when you listen to, when you do the gazing online, or if you listen to what's called the voice, which is Brazo talking in his native tongue, you will find that by naming someone or holding their picture in while you are doing it, you will find that they actually achieve results. One of the people at the event was discussing how she was a psychologist, and she has her, one of her specialties was addiction. And as part of that addiction, she or as part of being a psychologist that focuses on addiction many years ago, she was bringing in her patients, their names and their issues, and you know, holding that person in mind while she was gazing or doing the listening to the voice, and she was sharing with the whole community the wonderful, incredible results. Like overnight, a person just quits cold turkey, no side effects. You know, with, and that was drug addiction, for example, or alcoholic addiction or whatever addiction someone might suffer. So it was beautiful to see this kind of sharing. It was beautiful to see the transformation. Some things also, there were also cases of people that were talking with animals and things like that, and or bringing their pets into the picture and helping them to address and the wonderful results. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be having on the show a couple that were able to share some of their experience by using these techniques or these gifts with animals, and they were just wonderful people that shared the results that they've achieved by using these gifts. Now, that being said, the focus of today's show is going to be more on Native American spirituality, and also I want to address the issue of totem animals and how they are associated with us, how they are associated with Native American traditions. Specifically, there is a beautiful book called Animals Speak. And this book is very powerful because it describes, much in the same way that you describe a person's personality, based on their zodiac sign, you describe this person's personality based on the totem animal that's associated with it. So if time allows, we might even do a meditation today at the end of the show. If we do not have time, what will happen is we will do it next week. So stay tuned in case we can do the meditation today if we have enough time. And if we do not, just remember, next week we will definitely do it. We will continue with this topic. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Native American beliefs and spiritual, their spiritual practices and how connected they were to nature. I know today we have a lot of issues with people feeling that, we should become vegetarians because, we should know exactly what that, these, we shouldn't be eating other life forms, basically. Now, I remember this very interesting comment, and I hope no vegetarians are offended by this because it's not intended to offend anybody, but it is, I thought it was humorous. When this gentleman says to another, are you vegetarian because you love animals, or are you vegetarian because you hate vegetables? So I thought that was very interesting because in reality, if you think about it, everything is energy and everything has life. The trees are life forms like we are. We exist. We live. We have a lifespan. As a matter of fact, trees live much longer most of the time than we do. However, we feel that it's wrong to kill an animal and it's okay to eat vegetables. Well, we are also taking the life of the vegetables. If you've read the book, I think it's a second book actually, but The Secret Life of Cells is about human beings and how they, all life forms feel. Well, The Secret Life of Plants talks about how plants also experience that connection with all life. And when you go and you reach to cut a plant, to burn it or to harm it in any way, the plant reads your thoughts. And this has been scientifically proven. It's not something I'm making up. So, and how those thoughts impact the plant, where it just like screams or lets out a vibration that's so high pitched. It's almost like a scream and it just passes out. So it's very interesting to watch that, or to listen to that. So just wanted to share that with you very quickly. What I love about the book, Animals Speak, and I have a connection, to be honest with you, with Native Americans. In previous lives, I was a Native American first. There are some experiences in Latin America where I was, I had a previous life in Chichen Itza. I'm sorry, not Chichen Itza. I did have an experience in Chichen Itza, but the bigger memory and the bigger recall was in Teotihuacan, which is an area, is a much larger Mayan city right outside of Mexico City in Mexico. And it was a place that I would like to in the future visit because of the fact that I, have this recall, and it affected my current life, and I resolved that issue. So it was a wonderful experience to have with that. So there are many ancient myths and stories that speak about magical time places in which there were no boundaries between humans and animals. And that's the connection that Native Americans have with nature and with animals and the planet as a whole is something that I admire greatly, maybe because of past life experiences, because I did live in at least two lifetimes that I can recall as a Native American, living in a tribal community, having a partner, and I even remember the honeymoon experience, which was very pleasant. And I remember some of the beautiful lakes, which now in those specific areas have now become desert areas. So it's very interesting to remember. And the incredible part about connecting with your past and also with nature is that traveling through some of these desert areas is where I got the recall, where the flashes came back of here was the lake. This is what it looked like. These are the plant. This is, you know, what you were doing at the time. This is what the, what type of tribe you were in. All these incredible memories that just come back to you in a flash and you share that magical time. Again, the incredible, beautiful part about Native Americans is the fact that they were so in touch with nature. And that is what we're going to be discussing. Animals and humans spoke to each other. And a lot of the Native Americans not only believe that they can speak to the animals, but they believe that based on the type of animal they're, based on the type of animal that they are or they associate with or they have a connection with, they have certain strengths and certain gifts. And, you know, that is very powerful. So when I discovered my totem animal, I understood a lot of the things that I have as gifts as well. For example, my totem animal is the bald eagle. Well, the bald eagle lives between two worlds. One is earth and the other is the sky. It can fly between two worlds. And I have the gift of being able to live in the physical world and transcend the physical into the spirit realm almost simultaneously and very frequently and almost at the same time. I can exist in both places. So also the way I express myself, the way I sometimes talk is very representative of a bald eagle. And by that, I'll use the example that some people say, man, when you argue with someone, you just cut them down to size. Well, guess what? The eagle, the bald eagle, has these incredible, powerful beak that can cut anything down to size and it can shred it. And basically, that is some of the characteristics that you're reflecting of your totem animal. That is my main totem animal. My other totem animals are the dolphins, which give me the gift of healing and the gift of love and sharing and living in community. And then there's the wolf. And that one is a more personal, like a more intimate aspect of myself, more like a relationship within myself, the power of to some degree, wolves are also live in packs, and so the need for community, the beauty of the white wolf, specifically the white energy, is also a different type of healing energy, and it's a very beautiful and powerful animal as well. They're incredible beings that live in the wild. And so I've been gifted with knowing that these are my totem animals, and through each one I've had the wonderful, wonderful experience of understanding personal characteristics that I have, and also personal strengths and personal weaknesses that I can address. So we will share this with you so maybe you can discover a little bit more about yourself. I definitely recommend, if you would like to, you know more about this and become more knowledgeable for your own personal, understanding your own personal totem animal, then feel free to get the book. The book is written by Ted Andrews, A-N-D-R-E-W-S, Ted Andrews, and it's Animal Speak: The Spiritual and Magical Powers of Animals, of course. Let's talk a little bit more about this so that we can discuss a little bit more. I apologize for the background noise here, but this kind of happened unexpectedly. Now, let's see. The natural world and the animals within it speaks to us every day by their appearances, behaviors, their movement, their characteristics, even their patterns. Through all of these aspects of an animal, if you watch the animals in their own environment, you will learn a lot about their characteristics, and through their characteristics, knowing which ones are your totem animals will help to understand you as well. So that's very, very important to know different aspects of yourself. When we know what to look for, we can use these as omens, not in a super superstitious sense, but in developing our true prophecy and higher perception of the world around us. So through this book, you can realize how interactive every aspect of nature is woven, how we are all so interconnected. And again, the ley lines, because I'm able to see that, shows me exactly how our body also has this network. And I mean, literally a net-like lines of light that crisscross in our body. And these same ley lines are connected to the ley lines of the earth and the ley lines of the air, which in turn connect with the ley lines of space, the universe. So we are all interconnected, literally. And it is through our forgetfulness, it is through our forgetting who we are, that we totally disconnect from the beauty of everything that surrounds us, and most important, from the beauty that we are, a divine being made in the image of God, with every week. All right. So let us bring now my friend, Charlie Campbell. We've had him on the show before. And Charlie, how are you? Can you hear us? Hello? Hello, can you?
Hello, can you Esperanza.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you this evening?
I'm good. I was just sharing with the listeners the book Animal Speaks from Ted Andrews, but I would like you to share, because you're so knowledgeable about you have so much knowledge and experience, personal experience with Native Americans, and of course with this book itself. You were the one who shared it with me, and I was able to find out about my totem animals. So what I was saying to the listeners was that it would be great to talk about the Native culture, the Native Americans, their involvement in the ascension process or in spirituality, and how it's all integrated with nature. And then if we have time, we can do a meditation. And if we do not, for our listeners to be able to share or to know who their totem animal is or what their totem animal is. And maybe we can go in a little bit into explaining that. And if we do not have time today, we can do it next week. What do you think? Is that a good plan?
Yes. The meditation, I think, to do it justice would take, possibly a half an hour.
Okay.
And so, just speaking on the background of what, the animal speak is, and the generalized, topic guidance that you said. Basically, that in indigenous cultures, and it was in our, ancestry way back for all of us, animals were considered messengers of the spirit world, and they would come to people at different times, and they had different symbolism, from, prehistory up until now. And Ted Andrews just made things a lot simpler, and there's other authors out there as well, as I've seen. I don't recall their names because some of my friends use other sources, but they give you the definitions of, when the animals, come to you. And one of the hallmarks of, animal messaging is that when you see an animal that's come to you that is unafraid, and it's really uncharacteristic of, most animals to come up to people, then that quite often is, an animal messenger, just pure and simple, whether it can be a mammal, a bird, a reptile, even an insect. And, these all have, definitions in his book. And, I've seen messengers, come, routinely to me in all those forms. And so when I see something that's unusual, flying across my path as I'm walking into work, flying, out of the clear blue sky right across my path when I'm driving the car, or, something gets my attention, then I'll go back and refresh my memory in the book, with the definition, and they all have cycles of power in each definition. For instance, let me just flip to one here. Eagle popped up. Everyone wants to be an eagle.
Is that the bald eagle or just
the bird? But in reality, there's many good signs out there. But the keynote for the eagle, for instance, is illumination of spirit, healing, and creation, and cycle of power. And this is, keynote is on all the different totems in this book. And cycle of power, all seasons and during daylight. Conversely, the heron for another bird is aggressive self-determination and self-reliance, cycle of power, spring. So that's two very distinctly different, birds and animals the same. They have cycle of power that sometimes is all year round and sometimes just a season or might be 60 days.
Right. So, now going back to the eagle for just one second, is that the bald eagle or the regular eagle?
I think that was that particular one. Well, it just has, eagles,
okay,
as a generic term, at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dropping back to that because quite often when you open up a book, you'll get a message, there. It's just your guidance is, directing you to a certain thing. Like you open up a book with no particular interest in, the page that you open it to.
Right.
Something jumps out at you.
You just brought back some incredible memories that I had forgotten from not forgotten, but, they were just filed away, I guess, in memory. In regards to my trip to Chichen Itza, this summer in July, actually. And that was, June. The powerful thing is that as soon as we arrived or we were getting close to the resort and also to Chichen Itza, we kept seeing a few white butterflies, but mostly a whole bunch of yellow butterflies. There was a blue one here and a light blue one there. But through most of our trips for the days that we were there, we were surrounded every time we left the resort with butterflies, yellow butterflies, and a few white ones. And it was just, it was impossible not to realize that there was something significant about it. So I don't know if that one is something you can turn to and see a little bit to understand a little bit better what the significance, because we were there to do spiritual work. We were there to help in the ascension process. And that specific time frame was the opening of the gateway for the transformation. So if you are able to find it, that's great. If not, we won't worry about it. I just wanted to mention it because I just remember this, our bus surrounded by these beautiful, it was like 30 or 40 or maybe.
I was able to get to that one while you were
doing it. It was like 100 butterflies.
Is keynote transmutation and the dance of joy. Animal is going through transformation from, the egg to the larvae to the pupa stage, if I'm pronouncing that right. And then it breaks out of its cocoon, and then it becomes a butterfly. And I think they are always a wonderful sign, especially when they're, getting your attention by flying around.
Yes.
I work at a big, complex, and in the summertime, I've had dragonflies, buzz by me, and sometimes they're mating on the wing, which is, rather unusual, for, some insects do, but these are very noticeable because of their size, and their keynote is the power of light. And again, they speak about transformation of, how the eggs are laid in a small stream, and then they go from the water to the air and things of that nature. So there's all kinds of, you know, little hints of, you know, what the animal, insect, bird is telling you, if you're open to it. If you're not open to it, then, it's just a, something that, comes to you and, you note it. And if there's no reference like the in animal speak to get more information from it, then, that might be something for a later time.
Right. Yeah. And one of the other things that I was sharing with the listeners before you you came on was about a year or year and a half ago when I was up in New York, because I just came back from this weekend being up there as well. I remember that when I was at the Empire State Building doing energy work there through the guidance of spirit, I saw these incredible, I think they were like moths, but they reminded me of fireflies because they lit up. But they were much larger in size. They were about the size of a hummingbird. And I don't know if they were humongous fireflies or what they were, but they were so beautiful. And they were only on one side because the other side of the Empire State Building was extremely, extremely windy. So they stayed on the side that was not windy, and it was just like watching stars moving around in the sky. So I guess in a way, the fireflies would be related to moths in some way, or would that be a totally different?
Well, by virtue of them being an insect that is out strictly at night, I would say yes to that one.
Okay, that's great. What are your totem animals, Charlie, and how do you relate that to your everyday life and your personality and your gifts as well, weaknesses and strengths, for example?
Well, my primary totem is the owl, and before I did the meditation, I was out walking in the woods, actually near a reservoir, and I looked over and down, and there was a great horned owl perched about 3 foot off the ground and looking back at me, which is very unusual, and it was daytime as well, because they're actually night hunters. And I thought that was, I was just, starting to pay attention to animal signs. And, when I went into the woods hiking, deer would be in the, not too far away, but they would just look at me, and they didn't, run away. So I was telling all this, to friend of mine who was familiar with animal speak again, and it just about drove her crazy as I kept telling her these unusual circumstances in nature. So she bought me the book and said, "I don't care whether you pay me or not, you need to read this." And she was right. And when I did meditation, at the very end, before you return, from place that it guides you to, which is a clearing, there was an old tree, and at the top of it was a great horned owl, and at the base of it was a white-tailed deer. And there was also a woodchuck or a groundhog, depending on what part of the country you come from. And, I had been seeing a bunch of those on what is Route 95 north to south, from New York to all the way to Florida, I think. And they were always facing west, and that was very unusual, where I was seeing them, and the quantity of, three or four, at a time, and this was, springtime and summertime. So, there's, haven't picked up, where they are in the book at the moment, but their definition is death without dying that relates to the hibernation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was
right.
Explanation for that.
Now mine is the bald eagle as the main, and then the secondaries are dolphin and the wolf. And interesting enough, I have never seen an eagle. I mean, I've seen eagles, but not the bald eagles. I would love to see someday a bald eagle. And also, of course, I would love to swim in the dolphins. I have seen the dolphins in person, but I would love to actually experience connecting them at them at with them at a physical level too. And of course, the wolf. Now, the wolf is a little more reserved because they're usually packed animals, and usually that's when you run into them, it may not be that great of a situation, but it would be, I think, also a very incredible and powerful experience to understand. Now, this was developed through the connection that Native Americans, or Ted kind of wrote this book through the connection that he felt the Native Americans had with nature themselves. Because in a way, it reminds me of the zodiac, you know, how you can tell things about people's personalities based on the time, the month that they're born in. And then, of course, within the Chinese New Year, you have other animals and your personality based on the year you were born. So you have all these different sources. And it kind of reminds me of that as a way to try to explain to our listeners how this works. Do you feel that's a true statement that Native Americans really, this is kind of a summary of their understanding of what each animal represents and how they connected with nature that this way?
Yes, they are the North American representation, and in Australia, the Aboriginal folks, the animals are, majority are marsupials, and their, spiritual practices and mythology, they have the same thing, and Africa as well. Wherever the indigenous culture is, they have, representation of, animal messengers. And again, maybe 500 years ago for the Europeans, they were more in tune with such things as well.
Yes. I have often found, I mean, I've seen in the movies, for example, where they depict Native Americans as, transforming into animals or following the animals to guide them to a certain place where they're supposed to go or where spirit wants to guide, being a representation or a guide from spirit. And I have actually found myself sometimes when driving or even walking, you have a question, and I find myself following a bird and follow the bird where the direction of the bird, and it leads me where I'm supposed to go, which is very interesting.
Really not unusual, once you start tuning into to nature, and once you start tuning in, then the messages, become routine instead of, just sporadic.
Yeah. Now, talking about the Native Americans, since we won't have enough time for the meditation, what we could do is, I'm thinking we could possibly, since we would be doing it next week, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Native American culture and the association or relation to the ascension process or the transformation that humanity is going to be going through. And I know we've had conversations in the past about secret places that Native Americans are familiar with that hold special, I guess, special purposes for the ascension processes, places where people can be protected, places that people can go to let the transition or the chaotic aspect of the transition pass. Would you like to share a little bit more about that information? For example, I know we've seen places that were that are kept secret and not known with the purpose of the moments of very serious chaos on the planet and very serious danger, and these are places where people can actually go for protection. Would you like to talk a little bit about that and share with our listeners the relationship with this and how Native Americans are part of this transition process?
Well, the primary one that comes to mind is, you know, the prophecies of the Hopi elders, and Hopi believe that this is the fourth world that they've lived in, and, you know, the three previous have been destroyed, but, you know, by various natural disasters. And I've talked to folks that are Hopi, and the book that I read, which is the Book of the Hopi, and it's been out, you know, for, you know, maybe 30 to 45 years. They say some of the things, you know, are little literal translations in it, and others are not, you know, 100%, you know, the teachings, you know, of their people. And I haven't had the chance to, you know, find out what the difference is, you know, from them, because they're where the Hopi live, you know, within the reservation of the Navajo. So, you know, that's out in Arizona for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And, right.
About safe places, well, at this point in time, I haven't heard of any that, you know, the Native folks living where they are, they feel, you know, secure. The Navajo is a huge reservation, folks that I know now, you know, that live in Maryland, and some that I've worked with, actually just one at this point in time. The other gentleman, he moved back out to Albuquerque. You know, they have, you know, lots of traditions and, you know, stories, but it takes a while to get out of, you know, to have them, you know, relate this, because, you know, their stories and their culture have been dismissed, you know, by, you know, for hundreds of years now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're not always, you know, they're somewhat reluctant at times to, you know, talk to people that are, you know, outside of the culture and belief system.
Right. Right. One of the places I was, I guess, there is supposed to be a place in what is called Seventh Mesa in Arizona that's supposed to be a cave where technology, I should say, from the elder brothers, has been preserved. And these places exist all over the world. And a lot of Native cultures, especially Native Americans, both in North America as well as in South America, have knowledge of some of these locations. And when the time is right, these locations will be made available and also will be shared with the people that need to make use of it or need to know. And I know that Arizona is one of those places. I know there's several other places in the U.S. One of the ones that I had the opportunity of actually projected into was the one at Machu Picchu in Peru. And that was an incredible, powerful experience where I actually was taken into the cave, and there's a secret door which you really can't see because it, you know, it just looks like regular rock, but there's a way to actually access it. And once you're inside, along the walls there are, once you get into a certain depth into the caves, there are rooms, and the rooms contain these powerful images. Some of them are, I don't know, 10 feet or 12 feet tall or even higher of beings from other planets, and also some that are natives. Some of them have animal forms and others have human form, but they're extremely, that you can tell that they're different from us. And I know that some of the Native American cultures are familiar with the ones here in the U.S. So those were some of the things that I also discuss in my book. And that's what, I guess, for example, in Egypt, in the pyramids, there are secret chambers, which most of them have been discovered, but there's a few that have not, which I believe they're supposed to be kept that way until the time is right and humanity is a little more prepared to make use of this incredible, powerful technology. I don't want to sidetrack the conversation, though. I wanted you to share a little bit more of your own personal experience, because I know you've been able to share this with, you've been participating and meeting with these people. So we actually just have 60 seconds more, I understand, so about another minute before we go off the air. So anything you would like to share with the audience for today?
Well, be open to the things that are in nature that, you know, could give you a message, and, things that are peculiar and you don't understand, take a little time, note them, and then when you have time, get back to them. See if you can discover some significance in your life to what's the animal world, spirit world is trying to get across to you. That's what
right.
I do routinely.
Exactly. And allow, when you ask for guidance or direction, allow nature to talk to you, whether it be a tree or an animal or something like that. They're very powerful. So we can say that next week we could do the meditation with the listeners so that they can enjoy and understand a little bit their totem animals and how that translates to their daily life and who they are.
That sounds good. If I don't get stuck on any projects at work out of the clear blue sky,
okay,
it would be good.
All right. Well, let's try to do that then. And want to wish everyone a wonderful, blessed week. May your days and hours and minutes be filled with love, peace, joy, and abundance. And may you allow spirit to guide you and make things flow easy for you. Have a wonderful week. See you next Monday, 8 o'clock.